Hello?
Is this a 1-800 BJJ help?
Yes, it is. Is this
That's a
Josh?
joke. Yes, it
What you got for me today?
Today, I wanted to talk about some tough times. What were your like darkest, toughest times in jiu-jitsu? And what did it look like coming out of that? And when you look back on it?
It's a pretty fitting conversation, I feel like, right now, because I just broke my computer and it's a pretty dark time. Because
That's right.
basically, yeah, I feel like the reason people get kind of like stuck in dark times is either because one, they're not progressing, or two, they're not able to train. And personally, I feel like this computer situation falls into the not progressing category because kind of along like with getting injured or something like that, when you're not able to actually like get on the mat and do your jiu-jitsu, or like for me it would be like actually make videos, it just doesn't feel like you're progressing. Where like, obviously like everyone says that you need to like reframe it in your mind, where like, there's other things that you can do to progress. Which is what I'm trying to do right now, and learn different things and kind of button up things on the back end of the YouTube channel too, so I can like kind of hit the ground running when I do get my computer. But still, it's just it makes it tough when you're not like doing what you want to do, so I feel like that's what like the reason behind the times being dark is you just don't feel like you're progressing, at least in what the area that you feel like you should be. You're not able to progress. So yeah, I think like another reason would be not being able to train. So again, that kind of falls into the same category, where you're not like progressing really. But I've gotten better at dealing with this one just because like of my situation that I've been in over COVID, and then now living in Hawaii. So for me, I feel like the just like not progressing one is much harder to deal with. So yeah, like the recent like, do you know who Tom Bilyeu is? I've talked about him a couple times, but like basically he says you're always gonna feel not smart enough, not strong enough, not flexible enough, whatever it is that's gonna be holding you back from the person you want to be. And it's always gonna lead to self-doubt. And a lot of times you're right. Like that's like the sucky part about it. Like you're right. Like you're not smart enough. You're not flexible enough. You're not strong enough. But you're stuck in like a downward spiral of like negativity. And the tool that he uses is he says, what can I do in the next 15 minutes to make me smarter? Or what can I do in the next 15 minutes to make me more flexible? That's what I feel like the thing that's holding me back. So the not progressing thing, I think it's important to leverage that tool and to say like, okay, I feel like I'm not progressing because I'm not flexible enough. Well, then like, what can you do in the next 15 minutes to make you more flexible? And just kind of put you in problem-solving mode. And yeah, looking for problems instead of pointing out all the negative things going on is I think a very good way to achieve that reframing in your mind.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think Tony Robbins says that like progress equals happiness. And so when we're not progressing, we're not happy. And I think that's that's like, I think a fact of life, not only in jiu-jitsu. And then what you said about the, even if it may be true, we're not flexible enough, strong enough, smart enough. It doesn't seem productive to focus on that. And at actually Baxter, my old boss, old podcast, hunting podcast host, he when I first started working for him, he told me to bring solutions, not problems. And so like if there was a problem, instead of being like, oh my gosh, like this happened, like yeah, it's a big problem, he said, well then bring solutions, bring an opinion on, okay, this happened, it's terrible, but I think there are these three responses that we can do. And that way, Bax could just be like, he sees a bigger picture and be like, okay, not number one because of this, not number two. Let's do number three, but adjust it this way a little bit because we have this other thing going on. Boom, go. You know, so like, yeah, he would say bring solutions, not problems. And yeah, so for you, what was the time when it comes to like doing jujitsu when you felt like you were progressing the least or not able to progress? Was it COVID or big injury or something else?
You know, I honestly think that the most difficult time for me as far as like progression was right before I changed schools. Like I felt like I was a big fish in a small pond, and it was, I just felt like I was doing the same thing over and over again. And kind of like you said, like the initial, you know, spike of growth in jiu-jitsu is awesome. And I think it what, you know, gets people so addicted to it is you just see results like right away. But if you just keep doing the same thing, it gets boring. And I felt like I was just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just didn't want to teach, you know, beginners. I wanted to get better myself. And I think just that's what ultimately made me, you know, switch schools and continue my development. But yeah, I think, that was probably the time that at least that comes to mind, when we started talking about this.
Yeah. Dang. I have so many questions about that time to like just dig in a little bit during that time. When do you think the feeling started of, and I think some people call it blue belt blues or like, I don't know. I felt it in different sports or hobbies before where, yeah, the beginning you learn so fast. The growth curve is so steep. And then you start to plateau a little bit. When did the feeling start for you? Of like, oh man, I don't know if this is right for me. And how long was that period like before you left?
I would say it was probably about 6 months to a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say it was about that length of time. And yeah, you know, I don't really know, like I haven't put too much thought into this when you brought up like blue belt blues. I don't know if that's necessarily like you see the growth slow down or you kind of like set a goal for yourself and you achieved it. Mm. And it's just kind of like the wind gets taken out of your sails a little bit, but like, you know, depression that comes after achieving a big goal that you set yourself that took years to achieve and now you got it. And it's like, right. Okay, it doesn't really mean that much. It's just a freaking belt. Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into that. And for me, it didn't happen until purple belt. So I don't know if it's necessarily like a blue belt blues kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had my purple belt at the time and I was training, you know, every day. All I thought about was training. And yeah, I did that for years. And it was about purple belt that I was just kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to keep doing this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what gave you the courage to find, because, oh man, I can't imagine being part of a school, like so close to instruct and like leaving. I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I would be like, oh my God, that would take me so long to like finally get the courage to leave. What finally did it for you?
Yeah, it was a tough decision for sure. And I had been there. I'd been kind of contemplating it for months, as I said, like it wasn't just like a spur of the moment thing. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, like a couple people did it already. So that made it easier that, you know, the bridge had been crossed already. Right. So that, I think was a big factor in it. Yeah. And then I kind of got a glimpse of it myself when I went to a seminar over at the other school. And it's always said like hundreds of people can tell you something, but until you like see it yourself, it like really hits home, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, sometimes I think you just gotta experience things for them to really, you know, impact you. And I think that's what happened, that, you know, some of my friends had done it and they were telling me like, dude, you better come. And I was like, yeah, but like, you know, we're doing jiu-jitsu here. It's just like the same thing. And then like, I went and saw it. And I'm like, it's not the same thing.
Was that the Craig Jones seminar?
Yeah.
Where they talked about K-Guard and you're like, what is even K-Guard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I heard that. This is another Tony Robbins thing, but I heard that sometimes people don't change until they feel enough pain. Like he talks about how we're motivated by pain and pleasure, seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. But that usually what really motivates us is avoiding pain versus seeking pleasure. And so if we're at like a 0 to 10 satisfaction level, let's say, and it keeps dropping, sometimes we live in that like four zone where it's not terrible, but it's also not good. And it's like this no man's land that we just chill at. But then one day, maybe it gets to like that two or whatever threshold it is for us. And I'm like, okay, not another day. It's time. Was it kind of like that for you, or were you, after Craig Jones, were you just like, dude, this place is just not it?
Again, I'm a big fan of Tom Bilyeu, and he talks about how your mind is not designed to make you like super successful. You know, it doesn't really care if you're successful. It just cares if you live long enough to, you know, have kids and those kids to have kids. That's like all you're designed to do. You're not designed to be a millionaire or anything like that. You know, it's just like designed to keep you alive. So a lot of times it's easier and more like sustainable for you just to live in that like four range, like you're talking about, you know, where it's like not too taxing. You don't have to work too hard and you're probably going to live long enough to, you know, have kids and your kids to have kids and buy a nice truck or whatever you want to do. But, yeah, so I think I was a little bit kind of just content there, and yeah, I again, like I said, I think I didn't really have like crazy aspirations in jujitsu anyway, so like I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna be the best in the world or anything, so I wasn't like going out actively seeking a change. It was just kind of something that was kind of dropped on my lap, and I felt like I would be silly if I didn't.
So for those people listening who are maybe feeling this way, part of a gym, what did that they might, I don't know. Yeah, maybe there's people that are in the same situation as you, or there's some people that may think grass is greener on the other side. It's kind of hard to distinguish that. What advice would you give for really finding out if this gym is right for you and when to move and if it's really a good decision to move or not?
That's a really, really good point. And it reminds me, like, whenever I hear the grass is greener on the other side, it reminds me, I used to skimboard a lot at the ocean. And like, I swear, like, you're like in a spot and then you like look down the beach like 200 yards, you're like, oh, it's really good over there. And you like run over there and it's like, it's the same. So yeah, I think that's a very good question. And I do think that like a lot of instructors will be okay if you go over there for a month, or even like if you're willing to pay, like you could just pay for a month at the other school too and keep, you know, training at your current school. And yeah, just kind of like test out and get like a legitimate trial before you make the jump. But I do think it's important to be like upfront about that. I wouldn't like go behind your instructor's back and like test it out and see, and then be like, oh yeah, I was just over there for a month and it's actually really nice, so I'm gonna peace out, you know. Like I think it's a small community and people find out, so it's better to be upfront about it than get exposed later on.
Dang, that sounds so scary to even have that conversation. Do you remember the conversation with your instructor when you told him, like, how did he take it, and would you have done anything different? Like,
I had my mind pretty made up, and not to go into like too much detail or anything, because
community is small.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I had my mind pretty made up, and you know, he tried to convince me to stay, but I again had my mind pretty made up, and it was obviously tough. It's a long relationship. You know, I was at this school for, you know, 5 years. So yeah, it's obviously a tough conversation, but I think it was necessary, and I think it was important that I kind of made up my mind going into it and not to be like persuaded. Because I think if you're on the fence, you're not gonna, it's a tough conversation, you know. So like if as soon as things start to get like a little intense or like a little emotional, you're going to, you know, back down or kind of give into that. So go into it expecting it to be tough. Don't expect it to be like a 5-minute conversation. Expect it to be like a half hour conversation or longer. So
Dude, I will admit one time in my life, there was one point in my life where I Googled how to have a breakup conversation. And actually there was some good advice on there. One piece of it was like, first find clarity, you know, about your decision, know why, and then be firm, but empathetic, you know, like be there, but still be firm, you know, cause it's going to be emotional. Like you said, dude, I think there's a lot of actually overlap with like those kinds of conversations. I had to take a pause with my life coach this year, and my therapist also was like, hey, I think we're good now. Like you can go off on your own and, you know, come back when you want. And those two conversations felt like breakup conversations. And,
like they were breaking up with you?
No, mine with my life coach, I was like, I came to a point where I wasn't, it wasn't the best fit for this time in my life anymore. And I just decided to like, not fire him, but like, hey, I think we're good for a while. I'll doors always open if I want to come back. And then with my therapist, it was like, we've been working on different topics and we came to a nice spot. And she was like, okay, like how else do you want to continue this? I don't want to just keep showing up for calls, charging you. I'd rather you go off on your own, use the tools we've learned. And if there's other things that come up, you can always come back. Doors always open. And those were like two of the best ones I've ever had, I think. Less, but I don't know. I wonder, it's also tricky because it's like a two-way street. You know, some coach or instructor might take it very personally and like, you know, and it's the whole like, it's not you, it's me. Like, I don't know. How does that, you know what I mean? It's a tricky, complex dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, what makes it easier than like a, you know, actual relationship with someone is that you're paying the person, you know?
Right.
So it's like, you're a customer. It's not like a girlfriend or whatever, where like we both made sacrifices to be here. It's like, no, I'm the one who's like paying you and teaching your kids classes and like doing all these things for you, you know, like,
right.
I don't owe you anything, you know?
Yeah.
So I think like that kind of gave me a little clarity, in my decision. Like it's up to me, like what I want to do, you know? So, I think it's very similar to the breakup thing, but I think that makes it easier to handle for the person doing the breaking up.
for sure. Yeah. And I think hopefully like instructors don't take it personally, even though it may feel so personal, like, oh, it's my gym that you don't like. No, it's just that person for that season, for whatever reason, it's just not a fit anymore. It served what it served for the time. And yeah, hopefully they can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of people there that are happy and, I just ready to, you know, take my jiu-jitsu to the next level. And I didn't want to, you know, sit around and help people get off the ground. So
yeah.
Different stages for, different periods in your life kind of thing, like you were saying.
Yeah, totally. It's I think often it's about fit versus like what school is the best school, but it's like, no, what school is the best school for you? And I think you take that approach a lot in the advice that you give. I feel like half of our episodes, you're like, well, it depends on your goal, and that changes the approach. So yeah, it's not really personal.
See, there's millions of people listening to this. We can't just give like generic advice. We gotta take that into consideration.
That's true. Yeah, we've got a big weight on our shoulders here. Every word counts. Anything else?
I would just going back to like what you said, like when you get depressed or like feel down, try and get into problem solving mode. I think that's like the biggest takeaway, and the tool that I leverage in like every aspect of my life is that. And kind of like you said, like Tom Blee takes it like to like the extreme, and he's like, literally, like, how would we do this? Like, do we have to like kidnap someone or something and to like make it happen? And then like, obviously, like when we end up like getting the plan together, we'd be like, if we kidnap that person, it would work. But obviously we're not going to do that because of like ethical reasons, but like that plan would work. Like we were in problem solving mode and we figured out something that would work. And then now we have to take pieces away that are not ethical and like re-figure out like what was that piece achieving and like how do we achieve it another way that's more ethical and like more in line with our, you know, business and things like that. But like put yourself in problem solving mode. It's like, right. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. Yeah. My first manager used to talk about that. Like if you had to go, if I asked you to, you know, give me a Lamborghini, like in an hour, could you do it? And everyone would be like, no. And he's like, what if I gave you $10 million? Would you find a way? Yeah. All of a sudden the path was there. Like what, how, just 5 seconds ago, you said, no, like there's no way. So yeah, it's kind of fun to think about exercises like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully this inspires millions of people to have breakup conversations to help them have healthier relationships with their jujitsu and their jujitsu career. if you do, please let us know. It would be great to hear.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm excited now that you're back in the US, you got one more trip and then you're going to settle down and start going to some jujitsu classes. We can have probably more specific questions and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. I do plan to join a gym here for a month in January before I head out. So that'll be cool. And then hopefully to do some drop-ins while in Europe. And then I'll be in gym trialing time and then picking one in San Diego. So
cool. Yeah,
which is exciting.
Right on. Yeah. All right. Later, Josh.
See you, Jake.